Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and this is a live Prophecy Reality Edition. We are in the chat room at firstamendmentradio.net or .com, and the studio cam is on, so you can see my face and any exhibits I might perchance put on the screen. Let's see. Oh, we got a few people lined up in the chat room. Good to see you all there. Dale and myself, James. I wonder if that's a James that I know. Antiquity, WW, and WW2. So I think that may be WW's in the room twice. Yeah. And I'm in the room twice, too. Once as Nicholas and once as studio, because I couldn't log out as studio or log back in. Weird. But, okay, so what are we going to do today? Let me see. I must have a scripture verse lined up here. Oh, yes, I was looking at Deuteronomy. Someone shared this with me, so I thought I'd hold on to it. And, of course, this is about the false prophet, since we do prophecy here. This is a live prophecy reality news edition. And for anyone who doesn't know the news, and the news is about 500 years old, or more even, that the Antichrist has been identified. And there he is right there on the screen. Yes, the seat of the Antichrist is at the Vatican. That's where the throne of the Antichrist sits. And another name for him is the false prophet. He is the antithesis of the true prophet, the true Christ, Jesus. He is the false Jesus, the false Christ, the false prophet, the one who takes the place of Christ. In Deuteronomy 18:19, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall not hearken to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Oh, I will raise up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth. Thus saith the Lord." And this is, of course, Abraham speaking here. And the Lord is saying, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee." So he'll be like Moses, that he'll lead the people, actually lead the church, or the ecclesia, because they were called, guess what, the church in the wilderness. Yeah. "So like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." And of course, he's talking about a prophet here, the true prophet. So who is the true prophet but the antithesis of the false prophet? So forget what people in the past have said, try to say that it's like some historicists in the past got it wrong. They didn't get everything right. Most of what was already passed, they got wrong. But things which had not come to pass yet, or they didn't identify, like equating the seventh beast of the scripture, which is the second or earth beast of Revelation chapter 13, and saying that the beast is the false prophet, doesn't work. And I explained that thoroughly in my last two books, which have covers like this, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, and also my Exposition of the Revelation. If you have both of those books, you probably have just about everything you need to know about prophecy. Yeah, and you can get those by going to my website, crossborder.org, or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. "But the prophet which shall presume to speak," and this is speaking of the prophet and the false prophet, the true prophet and the false prophet are both on display here in Deuteronomy 19 and 18. "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." So if you don't listen to the true prophet, that is Jesus, okay, the Messiah, Yahshua, if you don't listen to the words, if you don't hearken unto the words which he shall speak in my name, he will require it of us. That's of the true prophet. Not the false prophet, but the prophet. And, you know, this is pretty broad too, but I think it pretty much zeroes in on the false prophet here, because it's giving us the same dichotomy, the true prophet first and now the false prophet. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And, of course, we know that all of the false prophets have died throughout history, and they will die, meaning that their names will not be written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. Okay? That's the false prophet. So we don't want to be listed among them. And, of course, there is that false prophet spoken of, with the definite article, the false prophet from in the book of Revelation there, spoken of, that is the same as the man of sin, also called the Antichrist, who sits on his throne over in the Vatican. And today, yeah, the man who occupies that seat is the false prophet of the day. And if thou shalt say in thy heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? Yeah, and when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet has spoken presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. What else do we got today? I'm not getting any audio on the audio links. Is that just www? If you go to firstamendmentradio.com, is the video working? Well, I think it is, because I heard it come on when I started my video feed 10 minutes before I got on the air to make sure everything's working. And everything was working as far as the video feed. And all my monitors say that the audio is working. So unless someone says otherwise, I'm going to believe that they are working. Okay, let's see. What else do we got today? Had a couple articles. I'm going to get into some news. And you know, if I say certain things that YouTube will give us a third strike for... It means that I have to delete the video immediately after the broadcast is done, because it still takes them a few minutes for their algorithm to go through to convert my speech to text, and then to for their algorithms to catch up. So if I'm going to talk about some current events, see, which you can't. You know, you can't say things like, you know, election, and then put the word fraud near it, you know, conjunction with it, because that's deemed a violation of their policy, because, you know, absolutely nothing happened last year like that. Nothing at all happened. So it's not allowed. And also, if you say that CV-19 came from a lab somewhere in China, perhaps Wuhan. They said you can say that now. So they were wrong for more than a year. And that's the problem with dictators dictating what is allowable speech and what is not, and who's right and who's wrong. Because they say, well, the CDC was right, and we've determined that they're correct, and what they're saying is correct. And if you say something that doesn't line up with they're saying, even though now after a year they all admit it was false, and problematic, you know, for the folks over there at YouTube. So we have a lot of alternative news sites coming up for people that want to watch alternative news, and it's a good thing, yeah. Because a lot of them aren't allowed, you know. Or there's one guy, his name is, he does Front Page or something, news program, something called something like Front Page. And he has a 15-minute YouTube he does every day, but he says, now, if you want to hear my full broadcast, there's even a few bleeps during his broadcast, because he won't put election and that other word together with it, which fraud, because he beeps it out. And because I think if you put them together, then the algorithm catches you, and then you get another strike. And we already have two strikes on our First Amendment radio page. So if we get another one, then they erase the whole channel, and that's it. You know, all of the, you know, couple thousand videos that we have up there, like of all Tom Press's programs from when he was on First Amendment Radio, are all up there, and people are still enjoying those series today. We have a lot of people watching those, so I'd hate to see them go down. Yeah. So you can understand why I'm not recording this on First Amendment Radio. Yeah. And that I will delete it immediately and then kind of bleep a few things out and then repost them later on. It's the only way to work. See, we always find workarounds, don't we? And I think I can say everything I need to say and keep certain words separate from each other. Yeah. And that way we vaccinate ourselves from the result. Yeah. In a manner, figuratively speaking, of course. Yeah. It's a figurative vaccination. It has nothing to do with COVID-19. Yeah. Okay, what else we got? I got a few articles that I found interesting. We're still on our 2030 march to the mark of the beast. And it's inevitable. The scripture tells us it's coming. How heavy-handed it will be, where we will live to see. I know that just watching how people capitulated to the loss of their liberty so easily, you know, and I think if they want to rob us of more of our liberty, that they'll just roll out the same plan that they did last year, you know, because if someone like, you know, the previous presidents, say Obama or Clinton or, you know, one of those so-called Democrat liberal Marxist type people rolled out this stuff, people would have been screaming all over the place, and there would have been a lot of opposition. But, you know, do it with a conservative, someone like, or so-called conservative anyway. I don't know what they're conserving, but, you know, they're not reaching very far back to conserve anything. But do it with someone like Trump, and then you can have your way. And he can do more damage than Obama or Clinton could ever even dream of doing. And with the same agenda. And bring it further than they would ever dream of doing. So it's kind of frightening to think. I mean, you know, it's frightening already to think that we have, you know, a couple of people in the highest office in the nation that cheated their way in. Yeah, that's frightening to think of. You know, tell me it ain't so. I wish it wasn't so. But I'm afraid it is so. Yeah. And that's the kind of thing that'll get you banned in the mainstream. Yeah, they don't allow that speech in the mainstream. But you know what? I think most people see through it. Although I was looking at an article. Maybe I'll share that with you. Let's see. Who was that by? Patrick Buchanan. I remember once when he ran for president and he got canceled. Yeah. I think if they would not have canceled him right away, he may have, because he was very popular back when he ran. And I know everyone's got their opinion about Buchanan or whatever, you know, I don't know. I'm tired of having opinions about so many people. But anyway, the article was interesting. He says, let me share that with you. Take away this pudding, it has no theme, is a comment attributed to Winston Churchill when a disappointing dessert was put in front of him. Writers have used Churchill's remark to describe a foreign policy that lacks coherence of centrality or a purpose. I've never heard this before, but whatever. For most of our lifetimes, this has not been true of the United States. The goal of our foreign policy has been understandable and defined. Ronald Reagan, from 49 to 89, it was Cold War containment of the Soviet Empire and the USSR. Yeah, I remember those days. Duck and cover, yeah. You think you have to be my age to remember duck and cover, right? Anyway, Ronald Reagan believed in a rollback of communism, once telling an aide that his policy might be summed up as, "We win, they lose." Okay. At the Cold War's end, George H.W. Bush said America would now lead mankind in a creation of a new world order. George W. Bush was going to deny to all axis of evil nations, North Korea, Iran, Saddam Hussein's Iraq, access to the world's worst weapons, with our ultimate goal being ending tyranny in our world. According to the Biden Democrats of today, America's goal is the preservation of a rules-based international order, which is less inspiring than Remember the Alamo or Remember Pearl Harbor. Yeah, what are the causes that actually animate America's? And this survey, that's what I found interesting, that he repeats here. A March survey of 2,000 registered voters done by the Center for American Progress reveals that most Republicans still share the foreign policy priorities of Donald J. Trump. Yeah, I shared his foreign policy priorities for the most part, you know, as opposed to, because I like the withdrawal and end all these stupid endless wars. I like that, even though he was unable to accomplish any of it. Yeah, it would have been nice if he would have been able. But then we noticed when he was, when he left office, all the people that were high up in the military got left right where they were by the puppets that were installed afterwards, meaning that they were already installed. Yeah. So kind of the fix was in whether Donald Trump wanted to leave Afghanistan or get out of the Mideast or whatever. He wasn't going to get his way. Yeah. See, asked to identify the first three foreign policy priorities from a list of a dozen, two-thirds of Republicans, 65%, gave as their principal concern reducing illegal immigration. And 57% of Republicans put protecting jobs for American workers right behind it. Independents agreed that these should be the top twin goals of UN foreign policy. And yeah, I kind of like that, you know. So what does this tell us, he says? Economic nationalism is alive and well in the GOP, and that's the Grand Old Party or the Republican Party, for those of you who don't know. And securing the border remains a central concern of America's center-right. In third position at 31% among Republicans was taking on China's economic and military aggression. And certainly we need Donald Trump more than we need Joe Biden for that. But like I said, I have my reasons for being afraid of seeing Donald Trump get back in office, which he might. It might happen. Who knows? We'll see. Only 9% of Republicans listed fighting global poverty and promoting human rights as top foreign policy priorities. Last among GOP priorities was at 7%, was promoting democratic rights and freedom abroad. Yeah. Well, we know what the Democrats have as one of their top priorities as far as promoting democratic rights and freedom abroad. No, promoting homosexuality and the LGBTQXYZ agenda abroad. Yeah, that's what they're all about. And that's what Obama was all about, the last one that was in there. And some people say that the, you know, this puppet regime that we have installed now is just an extension of Obama, who has an office in D.C., I guess, perhaps, from which he, along with that Jesuit university, they run the country together. Same agenda, anyway. Indeed, continuing the article here, indeed, this was the least popular foreign policy option among all voters. Conclusion. The priorities of the Bush presidencies and the neocons, democracy crusades, free trade, and the New World Order, open borders, have failed to recapture the constituencies they lost in the Trump years. While combating global climate change rests near the bottom of Republican, read, conservative concerns at 10%. I guess among so-called conservatives, you could have 10% of them could be brainwashed into believing that, you know, us mere mortals can change the climate, okay? Anyway, it's number one priority with Democrats, though, and 44% listing it first. So that tells you who's more mind-controlled by the New World Order and the false prophets of today, and the false prophet, who that's part of his agenda, too, because that gives them more government control over everything. Yeah, and that's what they love. They want to control every area of life. So while combating global climate change rests near the bottom for conservatives at 10%, it is number one priority of Democrats at 44%, listing it number one. When it comes to ending U.S. involvement in wars in the Mideast, that goal ranks fifth among all voters. Democrats, Republicans, and independents all support that objective. And since the last survey of this type, the greatest change is the reduced concern over terrorist threats from Al-Qaeda and ISIS. Fewer than one in four voters view this as a top priority. Okay, so anyway, I thought some of that was interesting, especially the part about the climate change and how the view is so widely different on two sides of the country that we have. Okay, well, I'm going into a break here, and we'll have more to talk about after that, so I'll be back after these messages. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live Prophecy Reality Edition. Just talking about news and things like that for this broadcast. Don't really have a agenda or anything. Let's check the chat room here and see. No comments there. Got James in the chat room is quitting a lot. I find that's if I switch browsers for the chat room, it will stop quitting. I'm using Opera for my chat room because when I do it in that Google browser or whatever it's called, I forget what it's called. Google browser. What do they call that browser? Chrome. That's the one. Yeah, it quits all the time. Just and times out. I don't know why that is, but seems to happen a lot. I probably need a different or chat room settings different or something. I don't know how to do that. Yeah, thanks, James. Is that James from New York there? Or is that a different James in the chat room there? Anyway, had another article, this one about money. Speaking of yes, it's me from New York, says James. Good. Glad to see you here, James. Yeah. Think of you often, man. Anyway, let's see. Had another article here, and this one from LouRockwell.com. Oops, yes. Yeah, and this one is by Lou Rockwell. Speaking about money, we don't speak a lot about money, and it seems like, you know, we're never going to get back to real money, but sometimes it's nice to read about what money is, and that way we can see how far we are from it and how it's unlikely we'll ever get back to it, at least not in this age, maybe in the age to come, and the age to come is not that far off, okay? Let's see, anyway, Lou says, Murray Rothbard would have been delighted by the publication of a Persian translation of his book, What Has Government Done to Our Money? That's a question, a book with a question for a title. Economic truth isn't confined to the speakers of one language. It is timelessly true wherever, whenever money exists. The laws of money apply. These laws will make or break the country's economy. So it is essential for the educated public in Iran, as well as everywhere else, to be aware of them. What are these laws? The free market position that Mises and his greatest successor, Murray Rothbard, laid out regards money as a good like any other. One whose creation and management should be handled by the market economy. There should be no policy at all. That's the free market answer. And I hate this, the Antichrist got a monopoly on money creation in America at the beginning of the last century. Yeah, about with the ratification or the unlawful. It was probably as legal as the last presidential election, the imposition of the 13th Amendment and the 16th Amendment, both of those. And I think the 17th Amendment too. I think those were all very suspect. And like I said, probably as legal as the last election was, in 2020. Okay. So anyway. Continuing here, what are these laws? The free market position that Mises and his greatest successor laid out regards money as good, that it's a good, like any other goods. You know what goods are. There should be no policy at all. That's the free market. Like if I wanted to open my own bank, I should be able to do it. But now that would be against the law because, yeah. So a lot of things now you have to get permission from the government to do, or you can go to jail, or you can get raided and killed and shot. It's happened in the past, and it'd likely happen again. Most economists are happy to have the market for shoes, watches, computers, all managed by the market, but they draw the line on money. They believe that in this sector, money, that is, we need socialist-style money management. And that's what we have today. It's socialist. Remember, one of the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto was a central bank. And then guess what we got in America 50 years later? We got a central bank. Yeah. And we know who's at the head of it. It's, of course, the Antichrist and his shadow government. Yeah. That are in control of all the money in the world now. Otherwise, how could the Bible prophecy come true and the mark of the beast? Yeah, that in its final form, where everyone on the whole earth is going to be required to participate or be left out. And we've been getting a good taste of that over the last year or so, if you notice. Although I have to admit, I went to Walmart, last week. I don't get out often, but I went to Walmart last week, and because I've been, I go out less because of the mask thing. So I've gone out less in the last year, just because of the stigma of if they want me to wear a mask or not. But it's my policy to not wear a mask, to not don a mask, unless they ask me, and then. After I say, no, I don't want to do that, or I'm not going to do that, or I just keep walking and ignore them sometimes because it becomes so redundant. I'm not going to wear a mask unless they absolutely insist and I really need something in that store that I can't get anywhere else. But it was nice. I went into Walmart without a mask. I just smiled at everybody, and someone looked at me. I mean, almost everyone else was masked, but I didn't notice there were one or two other people with no masks on. Nobody said a word. Everybody smiled back at me. Nobody demanded I wear a mask. Nobody came up to me to police me. So that was nice. That was a nice experience. The worst part of the experience was watching everybody else with masks. But anyway, now I'm saying things that could get banned again because I think YouTube or Google wants everyone to wear masks everywhere all the time for the rest of your life. But I'm not with them on it. So it's a nice change. I see the change coming out there, and hopefully we can, keep that momentum going in the right direction so that, this doesn't go on and on and on. Let's see, the free market answer. Oh, yes, most economists are happy to have the market, free market for shoes, watches, computers, all managed by a free market, but they draw the line on money. This is where the Austrians are different. Karl Menger broke ground in 1871 by explaining the origin of money. It was not created by the state or by some sort of social compact. It emerged from within the structures of the market economy. Barter is suitable for a primitive level of development. But once society's economies grow more complex, traders find a need for a good that they can purchase and hold to trade for other goods and services at a later time. This good is the most highly valued good in society, also called money. Rothbard, like Mises, shows that this was no accident. Money had to emerge in this way. By the free market. And we're talking about real money. Money makes possible the emergence of cardinal numbers that permit calculation of profits and losses over time. This is the essence of what it means to economize. But, unlike all other commodities, an increase in the stock of money confers no social benefit, since money's main function is to facilitate the exchange of other goods and services. Indeed, increasing the stock of money through a central bank like the Fed in the United States has horrific consequences, and Rothbard provides the clearest explanation available of inflation. And that's what we're experiencing now. And we can see that what we're going through now with, the further deterioration of money, that we're on that march, that 2030 march to the mark of the beast. And then the inquisitions will begin as soon as they're able to do it. Believe me, the Antichrist and his shadow government and their grand master, Satan himself, are all chomping at the bit to, get the whole world under it, under the inquisition. Experience suggests, continuing the article here, experience suggests that the best money commodity is one that is divisible, qualitatively uniform, has a high value per unit of weight, is portable, and cannot be manufactured without end. Precious metals, then, have served this function quite well. One precious metal rose above the others in being the most suitable, and that is gold. Now, there is nothing magical or mystical about gold that made it money. It just happened to conform most closely to the features that make for excellent money. That's why the quality of money in society is so critical to a well-functioning economy. And how do we ensure quality? It is the same with money. And that's what the founding fathers of America gave us. And a way to ensure, it's still written into the law, although since the imposition of the 1913 Federal Reserve Act, and they've slowly taken away gold. And while they still mint gold and still make gold and silver coins, but they're not used in commerce very much. I believe that in an underground economy, gold and silver are going to rule, and you should have some. You know, I would say, you know, get a face value $1,000 worth of junk silver coins. You know, 50-cent pieces, 25-cent pieces, whatever. Because the thing is, when inflation starts to roar here, which it is starting to roar already, the real money will not lose its value. It will hold on to its value. It may not inflate and bubble like some of this e-currency, Bitcoin and that type of thing. And you see how volatile that is. It's like half of what it was a year ago or whatever, and 10 times what it was 5 years ago. You know, that value doesn't work very well for money. And it's become really a speculative thing for people that want to speculate in it. But there's nothing there. I mean, if you can exchange it for goods and services or real money, well, then I suggest you should do that while it's high and get out of it as quickly as you can. I don't know. I got a Bitcoin account and I put the thing on my support page, but I don't believe anybody's put anything in that account, but I really haven't checked it since then. I guess you have to check your, but it's so foreign to me that I really don't deal with it. But maybe I've got $1 million in Bitcoin and I don't even know it because I've never checked it. But no one's ever said, hey, I put money in your Bitcoin account. So unless the account notifies me somehow that money has arrived in it, I don't know about that. So maybe if someone does Bitcoin and all that stuff, they could tell me how that works. Or do I have to check my account? Anyway, but no one's ever said they've given us any Bitcoin for a donation for our work here at First Amendment Rights, so I never checked it. Okay. Anyway, continuing here, our current monetary system has none of these features. We shouldn't be surprised to see the quality of our money slipping day by day. Yeah, it's the quality of the paper may be high for paper, but it's still paper. And it only has nothing backing it. It's a dollar, which is a weight like a pound. It's a dollar of nothing. In such a free market system, money would be convertible domestically and internationally. Demand deposits would have 100% reserves, while the reserve ratios for time deposits would be subject to economic prudence of bankers and the watchful eye of the consuming public. You know, the free market. If someone didn't keep their reserves in the bank and they started inflating their money supply against their reserves, well, that bank would fail. A lot of people would lose their money. but we would have better checks and balances would have developed in a free market for that, you know, like independent auditors of banks that rise up as independent businesses rather than all being controlled by a central government. Because, you know, what they say, absolute power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, or power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And since the Antichrist and his shadow government, the bankers, the Jews, or, you know, everyone's got a way of pointing at this thing, but we know who it really is. It is the Antichrist and his shadow government, as identified by Scripture itself, because the Scripture says in chapter 13 that at the time of the end, that the Antichrist is going to be requiring everyone, on pain of death even, for not participating in their Mark of the Beast monetary system. And that requires an inquisition, okay? Because they have to inquire in order to put people to death. And we know that the Antichrist and the shadow government have been famous throughout history for inquisitions. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, that's why we have a lot of the rights that we have in America, because they were anti-inquisition. That's why it's written into the Constitution for the United States that there shall be no direct tax, because a direct tax requires an inquisition. And but now, you know, we're going with the Communist Manifesto and not with the U.S. Constitution. So we have a central bank and we have 1040 inquisition forms that need to be filled out every year by those who participate in that scheme, okay? And once you start participating, well, then they expect you to continue to participate until the day you die. And then someone will participate on closing your affairs after you're dead. Okay? That's called inquisition. And that's what it's all about. And we see a lot of the same tactics rising up over the last year. So even though that we're getting some resistance now, and it seems like we're being able to abate it. I'm not surprised. I cannot be surprised if in 2030 that we have required inquisitions for everyone as far as and participation in a one-world monetary system and obedience to the beast and its image. And I think this last year has been a great education for those of us that have been watching prophecy all our lives and sometimes even wondering, is it ever going to happen? Yeah. Well, it's happening. Okay, so continuing here. Rothbard shows that government has always... Okay, it is, however, the historical dimension of Rothbard's work that makes it so persuasive. Starting with the 19th century classical gold standard, he ends with the likely emergence of a European currency unit and an eventual world fiat money. So back in the 19th century, about 1870, he foretold what was going to happen. The emergence of a European currency unit, probably wasn't giving much attention to what's going on over here in the United States at that time, as many people in the European theater were not during the 19th century. But eventual world fiat money, we have it now. It's pretty much worldwide fiat money. Especially notable are his explanations of the Bretton Woods system and the closing of the gold window in the early 70s. He foretold all of that. So, Rothbard shows that government has always and everywhere been the enemy of sound money through banking cartels and inflation. Government and its favored interests loot the people's earnings, water down the value of the market's money, and cause recessions and depressions because they spend like there's no end to the money they can create by simply printing it. And that's exactly what's going on. Anything they can do to slow it down, and there are other ways that it's slowed down too. It's like if all of the billionaires suddenly spent all of their money, we would be up the creek without a paddle with inflation moving that fast because all of that money would be loosed on the market. That's one thing that's holding it back is the people that are, that most of the money is accumulating to are just accumulating the digits in bank accounts somewhere. But look out when they start to dump it, as in, well, look at, as the arch villain, who wants to reduce the population of the world has just bought, you know, hundreds of thousands of acres of farmland in America. Well, that money has entered into the economy. So when they start spending and, trying to get rid of all of their billions, when those billions are unleashed on the economy, you think inflation is bad now. Well, and that's what they're going to do. They're going to all rush for solid assets. Once the inflation rate gets to a certain level, then it's going to be unleashed. And well, we've already seen it play out in history. So that tells you what is coming and what is going to bring about the monetary crisis that's going to usher in the final form of the Mark of the Beast. And that's why I'm calling these broadcasts the 2030 March to the Mark of the Beast. That's our theme for these broadcasts. And we are getting closer and closer because at one time, you know, they, in Economic Magazine, Economy or whatever it's called in 1988, they said 30 years and we're going to have a digital currency. Well, 2018 come, they were a little premature, 30 whatever years ago when that article came out, and they have set a new date, and their date is the 2030 agenda of the image of the beast, or the UN. The UN, the United Nations, is the image of the beast. If you don't believe me, read either of my both of my last books, and you'll get that information, or you can look up, articles on my website, and check it out. I have written and done a lot of programs about the Mark of the Beast, the image of the beast, and so on. It's all there for you if you want to start searching into that. And also, many of you probably listen, I've done the Audible version for the last 4 weeks in a row. It takes 2 weeks, 5 programs, 2 hours long each week. It takes 2 weeks to read the whole book, the Audible version of my exposition of the Revelation that I just published. So I went through that twice. And also a clue for you, if you're go to my website at crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com, it's there in the Revelation folder under my Bible Studies tab now. So you go there and listen to it at your own leisure, on demand, the entire book that I do in Audible form, free, okay? I just ask that you do a review at Amazon.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a re-established Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. I'm Nicholas Arthur. Welcome to the broadcast. We're continuing our theme basically of 2030 March to the Mark of the Beast, talking about what real money is, why we miss it, and how we'll probably never see it again as far as being dominant in the world. I don't believe there's ever going to be any going back to it until Christ comes for his millennial reign. Then I believe we'll have real money again. I don't believe that fiat money will be allowed. Yeah. And I don't know why anyone would want it. Okay, because it's just a way for people to gain power, and absolute power over money is what the Antichrist and his shadow government want. And that's what they've worked hard for centuries. And finally, they have it now. Rothbard shows that government has always and everywhere been the enemy of sound money. Going back to our article here at lewrockwell.com. Through banking cartels, inflation, government, and its favored interests loot the people's earnings. How obvious is that today? Water down the value of the market's money and cause recessions and depressions. And as far as digital currencies like Bitcoin and things like that, well, you heard probably, if you've been listening to the news at all, that the government has claimed that it has recovered like $5 million from the ransom of the pipeline company. Now, I'm not sure, how much truth there is to all this thing. Sometimes when I heard that, I thought, well, maybe these people are just looting their own companies and things like that, because they can get away with it with Bitcoin. Well, now the government's saying that they were able to hack and get that money back from that account. Because if you get someone to pay you in Bitcoin, you have to give them your account number. Well, they're halfway in. Then all they got to do is hack the account. And what they're saying is that they hacked it, got the money. So if they could get that, they can get your money too. They may not be able to identify whose money is whose money, but certainly they can trace all traffic on the internet. They can trace accounts to IP addresses that frequent those accounts and things like that. So, and don't believe that you have any real privacy on the internet anywhere. And Bitcoin and some of these e-currency monies are somewhat of a threat against, because the Antichrist and his shadow government, they want the only money out there, and they want it all to be theirs. So I can see a day when they're going to allow people to trade in their e-currencies and give them a date to outlaw them and trade them in for a certain value of the new Mark of the Beast money. But it won't be called the Mark of the Beast money, believe me. That it'll be called that by true Christians and Bible believers. But when that monetary system rises up after, what I described in the previous hour comes to pass, when inflation hits, when all those billionaires and multimillionaires start cashing in their digits for real assets and start flooding the economy with all this digital money that is just kind of being stored up now. It's kind of like, it's like the dam is getting ready to burst. you can understand what I'm saying. And once that dam bursts, then we're going into hyperinflation once the rush is on. And then it's just going to wash out the economy worldwide, and we're going to have the great reset, basically, because it's part of the great reset. You can see they're planning all this stuff with all of these different players playing their parts, and they'll have their great monetary reset, which will usher in the Mark of the Beast monetary system to remedy this, the greatest financial crisis to ever hit the earth, and that ever will hit the earth. But it's coming. You know, I guess I have to laugh about it, but all I can say is be as ready as you can, have as much real money as you can, because believe me, the black market always has existed, and it always will exist. Because all of those criminals in government, they're going to keep the black market operating. They may outlaw it, but they're going to keep it running because they are thieves and robbers and evil people. So you may have to buy some food with a quarter ounce of silver or a half an ounce of silver in a coin shape that people recognize as valuable. And believe me, people will learn fast what's valuable and what's not when they have to switch over from digits to real money, or real money becomes the only alternative to spending everything and every transaction in an inquisitional form, where the government or the money power knows everything you do. And you can see what they'll do with that information, what they're, the same thing they're doing with all of your moves on social media. Well, now they're going to know how you spend your money, where you spend it, who you give it to, who you donate to. They're going to know what you eat, how much gas you use. They're going to know where you go. They want to know everything so they can have total control. So that's what's coming with our 2030 march to the Mark of the Beast. So don't put your trust in Bitcoin and things like that, because that one day all they have to do is shut the internet down. And that may happen as a result. And that may be a blessing. Yeah. If the internet is intermittent at some time in the future. Because, you know, financial upheaval, with wars and rumors of wars, conflicts, civil wars, things going on like that, now, the world going crazy. You think it went crazy last year in America. We just got a little foretaste, I believe, of what's coming in a big way. And if the internet going down, it can interrupt digital financial transactions. So then people will need to rely on real money. Paper money will still have its value, so might be handy to keep some of that around if you can. But like I said, I hope you've been saving up your silver coins and buying some a little bit every year, so that you have something when the conflagration comes. We need to be ready for it. So, just a little warning as to what's coming there. Let's see what else this article says. In mainstream economics, most of this is denied or ignored. The emphasis is always on the best way to use monetary policy. That's all they think about, is the best way to use monetary policy. Well, I agree with the author, and that money should be a free market thing, yeah. And people should be able to coin coins and open up banks and let, you know, and have independent auditors and say, well, we are audited by such and such an independent auditor. It's all free market. That's how the free market should work. But the only reason, as I said before, that they want a central bank is for total control, because that's what's needed. And what the Bible tells us would develop in the days to come. And I have two excellent, pretty much the same article in both of my last books on the Mark of the Beast. Of course, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation. And of course, we have to address the Mark of the Beast in our exposition of the Revelation. And as I was saying before we went to the last break, you can listen to the book for free because you're my listeners. You're listeners to First Amendment Radio. You've endured me, put up with me for over an hour now. And you can go to my website there at nicholasarthur.wordpress.com or crosstheborder.org. Go to the Bible Studies tab there and click on the Revelation button there. And I believe it'll take you to, I'm going to have to check that out and make sure. I did put it there in the audio part of it. I don't know what I have for the video, or even I have a video part. But ignore the video part. I should take that down because I did the Revelation study so many years ago, but it's nothing compared to the one I just produced, okay? Yeah. You add 15 plus years of intensive study into prophecy, and you come out with a much better product, believe me. Yeah. So make sure you take advantage of it. Let me go there right now and make sure what I'm telling you is going to work. Okay, I go to the Bible Studies tab here, and it goes New Testament, and you click on the Revelation. Oh, yeah, and then there it is. So, yeah, that works really well. And you'll see the, I believe it's more than, okay, I'll get them all up there. They're not all up there, but the first 14 parts are up there, I think. I think there's like 18 parts, 18 or 20 parts, but there are 14 are up there. But you can, there's a good start there, 14 parts. And I think there's at least 16 or 18 parts to it. So anyway, you can get a good start there. I'll make sure they all get up there. Anyway, so go to my website, nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. Go to the Bible Studies tab. Click on the Revelation. It'll take you to the folder that has all the MP3s in it. And that is the Audible versions. Got to do it in a certain format, but it's just the book. That's all it is. I'm just reading the book as it's written. So make sure you take advantage of that. But I do ask you, if you're going to do that, to, excuse me while I be producer here. Take advantage of that. I only ask you the favor of, you can see it here. This is what it'll look like when you find it. That you leave a review on Amazon or Lulu or both. Amazon is preferable. That's where most people look. And, the more, reviews I get there, the more people will be exposed to, this view, the historicist view of the book of Revelation. And like I said, this is many, many years of study and research and history and prophecy to come to the conclusions that I've come there. And probably 75% is from other authors that are from the 19th century. That's 1800s for all of you public school folks out there. From the 19th century and before. So, like E.B. Eliot, Matthew Henry, Meade, let's see who else from, other authors out there. You'll see when you read it. But I looked for the best I could find for each chapter and for the best exposition I could find. And sometimes that was me for like chapter 13, 17, chapter 20. I spent a lot of time on those myself because those are things that have, our future yet, especially the millennium. But I've had to deal with amillennials, whereas, I guess E.B. Eliot did too. I dealt with it, in a more contemporary fashion than he did. And also chapter 13 there, they couldn't see that America would turn out to be the seventh beast of the scripture, of the seven enumerated beasts of chapter 17 there. So, or the second beast of chapter 13, which is the seventh beast enumerated in the scripture. There are seven beast powers called kings and beasts in chapter 17, used interchangeably there in those few verses. So we call them kings slash beasts, because that's what they are. Seven enumerated beast power, the last of which to rise up is, of course, the earth beast, the two-horned earth beast of Revelation chapter 13. They must be the same. And that's what E.B. Eliot didn't see. No one from the 18th century before could see it, because, of course, there was no America that rose up in out of the earth rather than out of the sea, where all of the previous sea beasts, as well as the one contemporary with John, all rose up out of the sea, the same locality. And, of course, that definition is given absolutely in the scripture, meaning multitudes and nations and peoples and tongues, meaning read a highly populated area of Western Europe, yeah, where all of that was and all of those sea beasts rose up. This earth beast has to rise up in an opposite, hardly or sparsely populated area where it did rise up. And I give all of the the arguments for that, I believe, incontrovertible arguments for that in the books. And so listen to it, take advantage of it. It's there for you for free. And pass it around if you're so inclined to as many people. Just tell them, ask them also to write a review on Amazon. But don't put on Amazon that you can get it for free, because I don't think Amazon likes that. I don't think you can put links to anything outside of Amazon in a review on Amazon anyway. But anyway, so this is special for you people that hear this broadcast or watch this video, and anyone they might want to pass it on to take advantage of that. Okay, let me check the chat room, see if we got any comments, questions. Antiquity. Oh, okay, let's see. The Jesuits are creating internet problems under the pretext of cybersecurity. Yeah, I agree with all of that. To provoke a crisis and bring another solution, which is the blockchain something, IoT. Today there was a large worldwide data blackout, and yesterday there was also a huge data leak. May have heard these events. That's what's happening here. Yeah, I've been noticing a lot of this type of thing happening over the last month or so. They're all planned to bring about whatever it is that they choose to bring about. You know, it's a order out of chaos. They create a little chaos, and of course, then they have the solution to the problem. And the solution is their agenda. That's what they're after. So in total agreement with you, Jesuit Fiend, you are correct about that. Please note, when you hear the word leak, you must invert and read it as deliberate action and not accidental. All leaks are not leaks, but done with planned strategic intent. Yeah, I do that every day. I go to a certain room to take a leak. Or to perform a leak. Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, strategic leaks. Yes, all planned. If I didn't want a leak, I wouldn't drink water and I wouldn't drink coffee. There you go. It's as planned as that. But we all know if we do something that there's something's going to result from our action. They are dismantling the internet to make the new internet, says WW in the chat room, the Internet of Things. Yeah, you know, I don't, Internet of Things. Yeah, I got a new, screen for my living room and, TV, I guess they call it. They call it a TV because my other one was just burned out. anyway, so I got a new one and they want me to set it up. It's a Roku thing. They want me to set it up. I said, nope. Because then they know everything. I think they're just collecting data through this Roku thing. So I just turned it into a big monitor and hooked it to, you know, like I had my last one. It was not a TV. It was a monitor. Because I really bought it before they started making TVs. They just had huge monitors. That's how old it was. It was quite a heater too. It put out a lot of heat, so I know it wasted a lot of energy. This new one's a lot more efficient, but the hooking it up to Roku and having to go through that website and give them a card and all that stuff. I'm going, these people are just, they're just collecting data. They want to know everything about me and who they can connect the data to. So that's what's going on there. And I think, I don't want one more data leak in my life, speaking of leaks. Yeah, so I did not submit. I just turned it into a big monitor and I hooked a computer to it. And I've got my browser that doesn't record everything I'm doing, I hope. And I just keep everything in tabs. That way it makes more sense for me anyway. So that's what I was doing at Walmart, replacing my old monitor with a new one. But I did not want to submit to the Roku mandatory sign up because, you know, I know someone who had it at their house. And I said, oh, well, let me navigate on YouTube to Prophecy Reality. That way you can watch my broadcast. I could not even through Roku, get on YouTube and go to Prophecy Reality. So they're using their interface to weed out what they don't want the general public to have access to. I could not for the life of me. I can on mine now. And I was thinking about setting it up just to test it and see. And I might do that because I've got an old gift card with $4 left on it that I think, well, I could give it to them under any name because I've done that for Apple because Apple requires a card. So I just used an old gift card that had $4 left on it that was mostly used up. That's a clue for you. If you have to have a card to get onto something on the internet like Apple or Roku, you can use an old gift card that just has a couple dollars on it, and it works. Yeah, because I don't ever plan on giving Apple a dime of my money. So, but I do have an Apple account for certain things, and they have a gift card that still, you know, it's out there, and it's good for that anyway. Okay, well, we're going to go into a break. So comments, questions, anything like that you want to throw out in the chat room, even calls, call me in if you're so moved by the Spirit, and we'll fill up the last half hour with more interesting stuff, okay? It's summer. I'm a little more relaxed. Okay, I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to Prophecy Reality. That's our Wednesday edition of my regular broadcast. This week we're going through Jeremiah, playing my old Jeremiah broadcasts. So I hope everyone's enjoying that. And let me know what you think. You can contact me at my website. Would like to hear from you out there. I have a contact page over there at nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. So let me know what you think. And it'd be nice to hear from anybody, basically. Let's see, in the chat room here, Ty says, a friend of mine, kind of a Bible scholar. What kind of a Bible scholar? Tells me that the mark of the beast cannot be here until the literal city of Babylon is rebuilt. Gee, I remember back when I knew nothing about prophecy, I toyed with that idea too. But it's not, it would be called Babylon if it wasn't called Mystery Babylon. So if it's Mystery Babylon, there's a clue there that it's not about the literal Babylon. No, it's about Mystery Babylon. So you ought to get him in touch with a copy of my book there, Ty, with my exposition of the Revelation. And also have some good articles on Mystery Babylon and so forth on my website. You might want to share with him to disabuse him of that deflection. Because most false prophecy out there is deflecting away from the true Antichrist. That's the purpose of it, especially dispensationalism. Let's see. What else do we got here? Okay. Jesuit people foolishly think. Just checking out the chat room here. Now it's the latest upgrade. Will automatically use all of your dice's mesh with Wi-Fi. Yeah, I don't have Alexa. I would not have Alexa in my house or any of those robot things. Yeah, and Windows Spyware Nexus 10, yet another incremental stepping stone in that direction. Well, you know, I figure if they're going to come for us, they're going to come for me first because I'm already out here in the public. But maybe not. I don't get much attention. Seems I've been shadow banned enough that we have actually less people coming to First Amendment Radio than we had in 2005. Truly. Because we were growing, you know, exponentially. But I believe as the big tech giants were growing, then they started shadow banning certain things, like First Amendment Radio, because I don't see why the growth should not have continued to be exponential beyond 2008, because it was until then. And then it's kind of just waned or leveled off since then to back where it should have been in 2008. If we had a free internet, that exponential growth should have continued, but it did not. And it's fine with me. I don't need to be rich and famous and have a million listeners on YouTube or whatever. I'd be afraid of it, basically. And God doesn't need me to do that. So, and I recognize that because he has all of you out there, you know. You can all reach your 10 or 100 people in your lives with the gospel, or a year or whatever, you know, whatever position God has put you in. You might only reach a couple people, you know. It doesn't matter, you know, just so you're living, you know, in a way that's pleasing to him, and that's the way you want to live, and your trajectory is onward and upward toward eternity. Yeah, just make sure your trajectory is correct. Yeah, and because that's what we look for. Someone sent me an article about you know, works versus grace. And reading that, and then the guy was criticizing John MacArthur on one of his books he wrote, saying, you know, because he was more grace-oriented and MacArthur's more works-oriented. And so, and I say, well, look, you have to have a circumspect view, because, well, because, you know, works should be evident in someone who's following Christ, you know. There should be resulting good works. You can't say, well, you can't judge someone because they have no good works. They're living a rotten life. You can't say that they're not saved. Well, perhaps if they just got saved, but I'm going to look at trajectory. Are they getting better? Are good works starting to form in their life, whereas they couldn't even form before, you know? So yeah, it's very important to have good works following your salvation, because it proves that God is working in your life. It proves that you have a mind that says, I want to please God and I want to do what's right. So you're going to, that has to bear some fruit over time, you know? You know, maybe in a few years it isn't so obvious when you look at someone's life who just accepted Christ. And, you know, you look at their life and you say, well, it doesn't seem so obvious to me. But now I can look at my own life. I can look back over 45 years and go, yeah, you know, it's obvious, you know, because I've got a huge hunk of time to look at and go, well, he is working. You know, I am much better than I was. You know, I may still be a scoundrel and a sinner and not worthy of eternal life. And I am not, because none of us are, you know. And I still may be prone to wander or even fall occasionally, but, you know, I'm not going to fall flat on my face like I used to. If I fall, I'm still going to be hanging on with one hand, to the Heavenly Father, or at least to his robe or something, you know, spiritually speaking, figuratively speaking. I'm not going to let myself go all the way down, you know. Certainly in the past, I would fall and I'd have to get back up, you know. As the proverb says, a wise man falls seven times and he gets back up seven times. You know, and that's how we all begin. You know, we learn how to walk. And perhaps we learned how to run. Yeah. But I'm happy to serve my Heavenly Father until he comes or until I go to be with him, whichever comes first. Okay. I think the passport are part of the mark. There's a tattoo later. Yeah, all of that stuff. We'll see how it develops. You know, we keep all of that in mind. It's the mark. It's not the mode. The mode is not the mark. Okay. It may be a wave of your smartphone. It may be you dictating your number into, a speaker and someone, down to record it so they can access your MARC account. All of that. We'll see how it develops. But the most important thing the most important thing in the meantime is to make sure that you are part of the elect, that you belong to God, that you've given your life to Him, a living sacrifice. Paul said that it's our reasonable service to offer ourselves a living sacrifice. That will result in works. Not works to salvation, but salvation unto works. We don't want to get that backwards. If you want to be saved by your works, well, go join the Antichrist Catholic Church. You know, they're the universal, not really universal. They call it universal, but it's Roman. Yeah, everyone has to conform to the Roman pontiff, the Roman bishop, and his edicts. So it's not really universal. It's the false universal church. That's what it is. But like I said, the most important thing is not knowing everything, because if you have the truth, then when that which is false arises, it will be obvious. So we need to make sure that we are part of his elect, that we are chosen by God and we are walking in his kingdom. Yeah. Imagine how Noah felt, says Antiquity in the chat room, preaching to millions and maybe billions of people for 100 years while he was building a huge boat far from the ocean, okay, on a supercontinent. People just laughed and scoffed at him, the Bible says. This puts everything into perspective for me. I know only a few will listen. Yes, that's true. I mean, could you imagine that? Here he is building a boat on a hill, and he's telling people it's going to rain and the whole earth is going to flood. Well, I don't know if he told them it was going to rain, but he told them there was a flood coming, and the flood would lift the boat because it was nowhere near water. And that ark was huge. There was no way he was getting it to the water. The water had to come to the ark. Yeah. Must have been somewhat humiliating to just imagine. I mean, it's hard for me sometimes. I think I've just been going on here for 25 years with the same message over and over. And now, you know, we've seen it develop slowly, you know. And sometimes it just seemed like it wasn't developing at all, but we got a big kick in the rear here in the last year or so. And it's become more obvious than ever, hopefully to more people around us. But imagine doing this for 100 years. We're building an ark, you know, figuratively speaking, just by doing this, by preaching the word and getting people to hear us. And they feel the same way, you know. The world, they've got their alternate reality that they believe in. Just ask all of those climate people who believe in climate change or global warming. They had to change that to keep changing the narrative because it doesn't match up with reality. So it used to be global warming. Now it's climate change. But they still believe in it. They believe that that's the most important thing that the world has to worry about. And poor little people like Greta Thunberg, you know, believing the world's going to end in 12 years ago. Or 30 years ago, it was all going to end in 10 years. And, you know, it just goes on and on. And they just change the narrative to go along with reality. But it's the same false narrative that the world seems to believe in. Just look at all the people lining up to get jabbed. It's, you know, there's a great delusion over the whole earth. There shall be great delusion. Well, we have great delusion. Those three croaking frogs, our frog-like spirits, are croaking louder than ever, and the cacophony of their voices is nearly deafening today. So nothing is surprising. And though we can push back, and I'm hoping here in the so-called land of the free that we can continue to push back till Christ comes, but I don't know, after seeing what I've seen in the last year and what people are capable of, and if they get half of the people to go along, well, then the rest are forced to. And then, well, when you read history, you read things about the St. Bartholomew massacre and other massacres of Christians that were instigated by the Antichrist and his shadow government in history. And you say, yeah, that could happen again. Easily, in the future, in the near future. And especially if they get their one world monetary system by 2030, you know, and that's only what, 8 short years away? Is it doable for them? Yeah, speaking of that right there. Oh, The Economist magazine. Get ready for a world currency. Yeah. So as it was in the days of Noah, that's how we feel. Yeah. Jesus said, so it will be in the days, when leading up to the time when Christ will return. And we are in those days. And, you know, I figure about, if you read my What Year Is It study, which is trending number 9 on my website right now, as I look at it there, I've got the top 10 trending articles. Of course, number 1 is The Empire of the City. The second one is Matthew 24 Explained, the Olivet Discourse. Going down to What Year Is It? We know that we have till about the year 2055 will be the beginning of the seventh millennia, end of the sixth, if we have our dates correct. And I haven't been able to find anything to correct it or change it since 2015, thereabouts, since before then. Because, you know, I'm always looking. I would like to refine it and get it closer to when I may still be alive, because I desire greatly to live until Christ returns, so I can be one of the few that are changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. But it matters not, because most people in history have already died. Yeah. And they will be raised at the same time. It says, first the dead in Christ will be raised, and that those who are alive and remained will be caught up and be changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. And they will be together with Christ when he returns in the resurrection. No, not to go to a rapture, or not to disappear for 7 years while the 70th week of Daniel plays out. Because I hate to tell you this for all of you people that believe that, but I don't hate to tell you because you need to know the truth. The 70th week did follow the 69th week. God was not a liar. Okay? He said 70 weeks. He meant 70 weeks. He didn't mean 69 plus an undetermined amount of weeks in between, nearly 2,000 years worth. And then we would have the 70th week. There's nothing like that in the scripture. There's nothing, absolutely nothing in the scripture to lead us to that conclusion whatsoever. It's a total fabrication, total conjecture, meaning it's made up. And it was made up to deflect the Antichrist and put off the search for him until the very end in the nether future. That way you would never look at who is the Antichrist now. Who does the Bible say the biblical and historical Antichrist is? You know, and if you don't know that by now, well, then you should read my book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation. And I believe that I could have you convinced by reading that, or just, you know, keep listening here. Check out the articles on my website. And you can come to the knowledge of the truth, what the true interpretation of prophecy is when you compare it. Because that's the conclusion I had to come to from the scripture itself. I believed from 1980s, 70s, 80s, when I read the late great Planet Earth, and listened to a lot of other Bible teachers, so-called, espousing dispensational eschatology, dispensationalism, futurism. And I believe them because they were reading Bible verses, and therefore it must be in the Bible. But when God called me to go through the Bible on the air, which I started doing about 1995, I decided, well, I'm going to teach on it. I'm going to show people where it is in the Bible, this, you know, what I believed, and I couldn't find it. Therefore, I could not teach out of the Bible what I could not find in the Bible, regardless that so many other people were doing it. I'm just going, it wasn't in there. Not for me, you know. I guess the Spirit of Truth was alive in me at that time, because I wasn't going to teach what I couldn't find in the Scripture. And I sat there and wouldn't teach it for 10 years. And then I decided, I have to know, I have to learn this so I can teach it. So that's what I started to do about 2005 with my in-depth research into history and prophecy. And that's the culmination of which you'll find in my last two books, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation and an Exposition of the Revelation, both having a cover that looks like this. And like I said, you can get my Exposition of the Revelation. You can listen to that free in the Audible version if you didn't hear that yet, by going to my website, pressing on the Bible Study tab, going down to where it says Revelation in the studies, the list of Bible books there, and clicking on it, and that Audible version will be available to you. The first 14 segments are there. I will add the last couple today. Yeah. Okay. Make sure you take advantage of that. And please, like I said, all I ask is that you go over, if you've already heard it on the air, you've already listened to it, go over to my website on, go over to Amazon.com, look for my last several books and give me a good review there. And maybe we can get more people interested in a biblical, more historic interpretation of prophecy. And they'll come to the same conclusion. We're looking for those people that have the spirit of truth. And like we have, like I experienced in the past when I started teaching the Bible, that I couldn't teach something I couldn't find there. And just like you, when you hear the truth, you're going, I have to search the scripture and see if that's true or not. And you search it because you have the spirit of truth. And that's another sign that we are the children of God, because we have the spirit of truth to discern and realize that what is not true, you know, gets back to like the false prophet and the true prophet. Well, how do you discern who the false prophet is if you don't know who the true prophet is? And once you say, well, Jesus is the true prophet, well, then it becomes so obvious that the false prophet is the Antichrist, because Jesus is the true Christ. Therefore, the false Christ is the man of sin, and we recognize him for who he is. And so it is with everything else. If we can't find it in that which is true, then we recognize it as false. Yeah. So, do take advantage of that. And please share the articles. Notice a lot less people have been coming to my website, becoming not as popular. If I ever was popular, I can't ever claim any kind of popularity at all. But or perhaps there are just more people out there with the same message. I hope, you know, take my work, make it your own. That means study it, make sure it's true, so that you can expound out it out of the scripture yourself. And then it's really God's work. Yeah. Let's see. The current deception plan is from Dallas Jenkins, son of the Left Behind Jerry Jenkins, called The Chosen. Okay, well, what about that, Tom W. there in the chat room? Maybe we can talk about that next week. You can tell me what's wrong with The Chosen. Because I watched a few of those. I enjoyed it. It was very entertaining and sometimes moving. So, I don't know. Maybe you could expound on that. But I'm running out of time. And I want to thank you all for listening today. Make sure you spread this around. Share this broadcast as with many people as you can. I'll put the link to the D Live in the chat room right now so that you can share that, because it's not going to be on YouTube. I'm going to delete it immediately. So anyway, here's the D Live link if you want to share this with anyone in the chat room. Anyway, it's dlive.tv/prophecy reality news. Pretty easy. DLive, DLive.tv/prophecy reality news. Okay, that's all the time I have. May the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel on the narrow way that leads to life.